This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. You chose to hit play on this podcast today. Smart choice. Progressive loves to help people make smart choices. That's why they offer a tool called Auto Quote Explorer that allows you to compare your Progressive car insurance quote with rates from other companies. So you save time on the research and can enjoy savings when you choose the best rate for you. Give it a try after this episode at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
If your job at a healthcare facility includes disinfecting against viruses, you know prevention is the best medicine. And maintaining healthy spaces starts with a healthy cleaning routine. Grainger's world-class supply chain helps ensure you have the quality products you need when you need them. From disinfectants and cleaning supplies to personal protective equipment, so you can help deliver a clean bill of health. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Welcome, football fans.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Are you ready?
Live from the NFL Draft in Green Bay, Wisconsin.
That's what I'm talking about.
The Rich Eisen Show. Today's guests: co-host of NFL Network's Good Morning Football, Jamie Erdahl; ESPN NFL Insider Adam Schefter; Green Bay Packers General Manager Brian Gutekunst; former Texas Longhorns wide receiver Matthew Golden; NFL Network insider Tom Pelissero; CBS NFL analyst Charles Davis. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
My goodness gracious.
Wow.
What a guest list. Here in Green Bay, Wisconsin, coming to you live from Gather on Broadway in downtown Green Bay for the next 3 days, home of the 2025 National Football League Draft. I am Rich Eisen, pleased to be joined by my guys, Chris Brockman and TJ Jefferson.
What's up, Rich?
You guys, how are you?
Doing, man?
We're finally here. It is draft week, and we are here again in the home of the Green Bay Packers, the cradle of Lombardi. Place where the first two Lombardi trophies were won. It wasn't even called the Lombardi Trophy yet because Lombardi had to win them.
I know you've been here many times.
I have.
I've never been to Green Bay.
It's great.
And you're right. When they say all of a sudden you're driving down a neighborhood and there's Lambeau Field.
Yeah, isn't that amazing? And now this time around, it's a draft city. They've created an area around Lambeau Field where the draft is going to take place. Draft's not going to be inside Lambeau Field. It's going to be outside of Lambeau Field.
Lambeau adjacent?
Well, I mean, it's only fitting if you're going to have a big party in Wisconsin. You do it in a parking lot, right? Outside of a football stadium.
Yeah, right.
This is the home of tailgating.
Yeah.
So we're going to have the draft outside.
Very cool.
There is a hot rumor that fans will be allowed inside in the seats to watch the draft inside of Lambeau. I don't know if that's the case or not. Brad Paisley's having a concert here on Saturday.
And
And you're walking around the town. The number of Packers fans that we have met, or football fans that we have met, or Green Bay natives or residents that we have met that are just wide-eyed and can't believe the NFL draft is in this town right now. I mean, obviously, this is a home of big-time football games and big-time championship games and big-time football games, but they've never had an NFL draft, the centerpiece of the NFL non-playing season, as we say, calendar. People are kind of blown away by it, and it's kind of cool that we just met one outside when you and I were talking before the show, TJ, and you treated this Green Bay fan so well. You asked him if he was a Cowboy fan. That was a great moment.
Oh, my gosh.
Because the Packers
figured everybody is.
This individual looked at TJ and said, "Get out of here. You know where you are." And walked across the street. Like, that actually was an exchange that happened.
This is true. It did happen.
He just looked at you like you had three heads and goes, "You know where you are," and walked away from us.
I was worried he might swing on me, to be honest.
So that happened.
You know what else I love is that, so the latest census, the population of Green Bay is roughly 106,000.
Yes.
We might get three times that here.
We don't know. I don't know. Obviously, as you know, Detroit last year set a new ceiling or new floor, I guess, by breaking a ceiling. I have no idea. I have no sense of how many people are going to be here for the first night, second night, third day. I have no earthly clue, and I can't wait. That's the beauty of taking this draft around the football world, right? Who knows? I guess maybe it does go international one year. I don't know. But around the football American football landscape. And here we are, you know, in Green Bay. And later on, we've got Brian Gutekunst, the general manager of the Packers. Tomorrow, we've got Matt LaFleur, the coach of the Packers. We've got a great guest list. Jamie Erdahl is making her way here, and she is part of the NFL Network broadcast that I'll be hosting for a 22nd time on Thursday night. 22. She's the one who is interviewing the prospects when they come out of the green room for our broadcast on NFL Network. And, of course, you can catch her on Good Morning Football Overtime right here on the Roku channel that precedes us every single day. Adam Schefter, my buddy, is going to be joining us. And then Brian Gutekunst, Matthew Golden of the Texas Longhorn football team. Who knows? He could be a Dallas Cowboy by the end of tomorrow night.
Hey now.
TJ, so you might be able to give a good look-see of your first-round draft choice.
I like that.
Tom Pelissero and Charles Davis also will be here in hour number three. And then you where you are. 844-204-RICH, the number to dial. Whether you're watching us on the Roku Sports Channel, the Infinity Sports Network is a great way for you to listen to us live. SiriusXM Odyssey. There's our podcast as well for the backstop. But every single time that we are here, figuratively, wherever we are for the NFL draft, every single week that we are doing draft coverage, I kick it off from the side of the draft right on this program with my own mock draft, just the first 10 picks of the draft.
Okay.
And, you know, it's time to do that.
Yes.
And, you know, the interesting part of it this time around is I don't feel the need to be as aggressive as I usually am, because I think the world of mock drafts, everybody kind of, it's like opinions now and you know what's, you know, like everyone has one.
Yeah.
Back in the day when I first started doing it, fewer people had them, which led to more arguments or people pushing back. I don't know what I'm talking about, that sort of thing. That was also back then when I was on Twitter, because it was a nicer place. And also on top of it, I was reading comments. And so we call it every single year, come at me, mock draft. Like, again, that's the New Yorker in me, a little aggressive. Here we are in the nice Midwest. I'm not being that aggressive here. Come at me, mock draft, presented by Spectrum. It's time for me to do that right now.
Let's go.
And we kick it off before I even say a pick to talk about what to expect on Thursday night, because I have a feeling it's going to be quite chalky to start,
no.
Meaning that it's not going to be anything surprising to start. And then I heard Ryan Poles, the general manager of the Chicago Bears, holder of the 10th overall pick and the first round draft choice, whenever it is selected, to elicit, no doubt, the loudest boos of the 2025 NFL draft, because it's being made in the home of the Green Bay Packers.
Right.
That said, that's the one thing you can say about the Chicago Bears pick, is it will be booed. Everything else we have no idea about or when it's going to take place.
Thank you.
Especially since Ryan Poles had this to say about this year's NFL draft.
With the draft, I'm going to give the opportunity for Ian to come up and talk about our preparation. I feel really confident where we're at. I think this one's going to be a little wild, but we're going to be prepared for all the different scenarios that pop up.
What makes you say that about it? You think this draft in particular is going to be wild? What specifically are you thinking of when you say that?
Yeah, I think it's deeper in certain areas than others. Usually the cutoff is a little bit quicker. I think once you kind of get into 2-3, and this one's going to be a little bit different. So I think there's going to be a lot more movement than there has been in the past.
Wow. A lot more movement. And I don't think if there's going to be movement, it's going to be top five. It might be the next five.
Okay.
And I thought really long and hard about it.
Okay.
I don't have a trade in my top 10 of my come-at-me mock draft.
That's not fun.
I understand that. I get it.
You don't want the Bears moving up to 4? I'm just saying.
Okay, Chris, just because you hope that the Bears will take whatever Wisconsin cheese the Patriots, you know what I mean, might put out there to improve your draft, I don't expect it. But that said, it's now time for my 2025 come-at-me mock draft. presented by Spectrum.
Here we go.
I need the music. I need the NFL Films music to just get me started. And obviously, we all know who's the first overall pick in this draft. We know it is going to be a stick and pick by the Tennessee Titans. Pretty much Mike Borgonzi, the general manager of the Titans, has come out and said so. Every single information man and woman that covers the NFL draft and the NFL says the Titans are going to stick and pick. And we know it's going to be Cam Ward, the quarterback out of the U. He is number one in the University of Miami program, also last year number one in their heart. And the guy from Incarnate Word in Washington State and the U is going to have a journey to the first guy out of the green room to be journeying to the commissioner. He's going to be the first overall pick in this draft, which leads me to number two overall. You know, I think in many ways he should be number one overall. I've never seen anybody like him come out of college and be presented to the National Football League in a draft. It's Travis Hunter. You get two players in one. I don't think Andrew Berry was overstating it when he compared this kid to Ohtani in the fact that when you get one guy who plays two positions and does two things extremely well when he's doing them, that sounds like Ohtani to me. We'll see how he can actually be a home run hitter figuratively in the NFL for the Cleveland Browns, who will be over the moon to add Travis Hunter to a secondary with Denzel Ward and a wide receiver room with Jerry Jeudy at a breakout season last year with a revolving door at quarterback. Number three, the Giants are sitting there. I think they are not going to go Shedeur Sanders here. I think it's too high for them to be taking Shedeur. Potentially, do they trade back in at the end of the first round to go get a quarterback? I think that that's possible. Mike Mayock on the show earlier this week, when he was doing his Mike Mayock draft, thinks that the Giants will trade back in at 24th overall to take Jackson Dart. Shedeur, I'll do my best to peg where he lands later on in this segment, but it's Abdul Carter going to the New York Giants, one of the best to come out of the world of Penn State football. I think Abdul Carter goes to the NFC East. And hey, listen, you got your Micah. Dallas is going to pay him. We all know it. I just have no idea when they're going to pay him. But
I got to boo Abdul now.
Abdul Carter.
Got to boo this man.
Your Mr. Penn State Nittany Lion is going to be a New York Giant. Number four, this is where the rubber begins to meet the road. I know, Chris, you want to hear Ashton Gentry's name out of the New England.
Ashton Gentry or a trade, just something.
I am hearing
something fun.
They are going to do nothing but stick and pick Will Campbell out of LSU to protect their diamond in the rough quarterback in his second year, and Drake May is going to have a much better game plan behind him this year than last year. We saw what Josh McDaniels was able to do with Mac Jones in Mac Jones's first year, and then the fall off after McDaniels left.
Brutal.
McDaniels is coming in. Just give Drake May a second to breathe more, and this kid, I think, is going to be the sensible pick for the New England Patriots, fourth overall. Now is where the rubber begins to meet the road for real. The Jacksonville Jaguars pick at five. Mason Graham has been essentially sharpied in. My guy from the University of Michigan, I love this kid. He is absolutely the best defensive tackle in this year's draft. I saw this kid play. He is amazing. That said, the Jacksonville Jaguars hired a coach on the offensive side of the football. I think Liam Cohen's going to walk into that draft room in Duval and take Ashton
Gentry. Rich Eisen.
That's what I think is going to happen.
He's and now the betting favorite to go fifth overall.
I understand, and I know what this might mean for Mr. Etienne there and Tank Bigsby, but he's too good to pass up.
Yeah, I think so.
For a guy who is at the forefront in many people's minds in this this industry devising offenses in the NFL. And I think Genty's going to be too tough to pass up. That means the Raiders are now going to be like, okay, what do we do?
The Raiders.
Because everybody put Ashton Gentry in the silver and black in Vegas. He's gone. Now, if that happens, this now leads the Raiders to sit there and go, do we take the quarterback? Shedeur's sitting right there. Do we go ahead and take maybe an offensive lineman, Armon Membu, who is there, sitting there after now Will Campbell's done? What do the Raiders do? And I sit here and I think to myself, Pete Carroll is the king of pass rush. He's the king of just amassing pass rushers. Remember his old NASCAR package in Seattle where they would just trade in one? They bring in one lineman after another after another.
Michael Bennett.
I think Jalen Walker's too good to pass up, and I think he goes to the Las Vegas Raiders, the silver and black. And I think Jalen Walker, who Mike Mayock has a higher grade on at this position than he has on Abdul Carter, I think the Raiders consider this too tough to pass up, which means the Jets now sit there at 7. They passed on Brock Bowers last year. They got Tyler Warren sitting here right now. We saw Brock Bowers, what he did in Vegas last year with an absolute, what would we call it, super fun sight at the quarterback position. And instead of giving Aaron Rodgers Brock Bowers last year, they could now give Justin Fields Tyler Warren, which would make me very excited, which means the Jets aren't going to do it. They're going to do what the Patriots did, and they're going to go sensible, and they're going to take Armand Membo and keep hammering this line. Again, if you think what Aaron Glenn saw in Detroit is something that he wants to bring to the Jets, he is going to hit the line, and he's going to hit it hard, and he's going to get that line going and get Breece Hall running, and he's going to want this for his team. And I think this kid Armand Membo is going to be a New York Jet as they keep building the line. And eighth overall, everybody had Jalen Walker going to the Panthers, but he's gone. Everyone had Mason Graham going to the Jaguars. He's still sitting there, which means he's a Carolina Panther eighth overall. I'm going to go with Mason Graham here. Eighth overall, and he's added to Carolina. Now the Saints sit here at 9. Do they take Shedeur Sanders? Do they go ahead and say, okay, Derek Carr might be out for the season. I think he's out for the season. Spencer Rattler, we got a good look seeing him. I don't know. Kellen Moore's pounding the table for Shedeur, and instead they're going to go and say, where's Marshawn Lattimore? He's not here anymore. Jahdae Barron's going to be a New Orleans Saint. I'm going to go with this kid from Texas. The top corner off the board goes to New Orleans, ninth overall, which means the Bears stick and pick at 10. And they're the ones who take Tyler Warren and bring him to the NFC North. And they will add him to the mix on offense. And Ben Johnson's going to have two tight ends in Cole Kmet and Tyler Warren. And they're going to have they're going to have this entire offense with Caleb Williams all set with young studs for a long time to come. And everybody in Green Bay is going to boo the heck out of Tyler Warren.
Poor guy. It's not his
and
fault.
And that's my top 10 come at me mock draft right here. Oh, wait a minute.
All right, we'll get one.
Normally, I don't do one more.
One more.
But it has been suggested by Smitch to give everyone an idea where do I think Shedeur lands.
Ah.
And I think just one more in my come at me mock draft, I think Shedeur lands with the Steelers 21st overall.
You do.
I think that when it all is said and done on Thursday night, this kid's going to be sitting at the crib with Prime for 20 picks. It's going to be a long night, but we're going to add him to the AFC North, and the Steelers are going to take him, and they're going to sit him, and maybe Aaron Rodgers signs, and Dion's kid is going to be coached up by Aaron Rodgers, or at least Aaron Rodgers is going to be in the same quarterback room as him, and they're going to have Mason Rudolph there as well, and you heard Jerry Dulac say two veterans and a kid. Well, the two veterans are going to be Aaron Rodgers, and it's going to be Mason Rudolph, and the kid's going to be Shedeur Sanders, and can you imagine Shedeur versus Lamar twice a year, Shedeur versus Joe Burrow twice a year. It's going to be a tall order for him. We'll see who the Browns take potentially in this first round. Do they trade back in? Don't know. Do they take a kid out of this draft, top of the second round? They do currently own the first pick of Friday night. We shall see. That is my come at me mock draft 2025, presented by Spectrum. Elevate your home internet with a fast and reliable connection backed by a local team that's there when you need them. Make more things possible with Spectrum today. All right, let's take a break. Look who's fresh off the Good Morning Football and Good Morning Football Overtime set. That's my mock draft on the screen, and that's Jamie Erdahl to kick us off here in Green Bay, Wisconsin. The Rich Eisen Show live from Green Bay for the 2025 NFL Draft is on the air.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. You chose to hit play on this podcast today. Smart choice. Progressive loves to help people make smart choices. That's why they offer a tool called Auto Quote Explorer that allows you to compare your Progressive car insurance quote with rates from other companies. So you save time on the research and can enjoy savings when you choose the best rate for you. Give it a try after this episode at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Even the safest drivers still encounter unsafe conditions, so it's important they do it in a safe vehicle. And Hyundai's offer available Class Executive Advanced Safety features to help keep you protected against the many challenges the road throws your way. Basically, in a Hyundai, you can drive as safely as possible and enjoy your journey in confidence and style. When you change lanes, signal, check for traffic, and enjoy the added safety of Hyundai's available Blind Spot View Monitor. Constantly scan for dangers and take advantage of Hyundai's standard forward collision avoidance assist to help prevent accidents by alerting you of imminent collisions and automatically applying the brakes. Stay alert at all times and be thankful that Hyundai's standard driver attention warning system monitors your attention levels and can bring your focus back on the road. Safety is all about making the right decisions on the road and when selecting a vehicle. Learn more at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for details.
What's up, everyone? It's Trevor Sikkema here from the PFF NFL Show, here to get you ready for the 2025 NFL Draft. We're dropping PFF podcast episodes three times a week with the rankings, sleepers, team fits, mock drafts, and more, powered by the same data used by all 32 NFL teams. If you want a deeper insight into this year's class and how it all shapes up on draft day, we've got you covered. Become a smarter draft fan right now on the PFF NFL Podcast. The PFF NFL Podcast, part of the Believe Network. Follow and listen on your favorite platform.
All right, welcome back to the Rich Eisen Show. It's traffic and weather together on the zeros. The traffic was clear enough for Jamie Erdahl to make it to the R set from Good Morning Football right away, and now it's pouring outside.
I got in here just in time.
Just in time.
I don't battle elements right? for you, Rich. I come when it's blue sky.
It is just, but it. I mean, it is absolutely pouring outside. It's hammering the roof here of Gather.
Yeah.
Okay, but you... The Minnesota Nice of NFL Network and Good Morning Football is here.
For anything.
Good to see you.
Wonderful to see you in the continental United States, my friend. No.
Normally, we work jet lag together. That is correct.
Yes, we do.
I know.
Not many people can we fly from, where was it, Munich?
Munich.
Munich back to L.A. on the same flight, same airport hallways. We did the entire travel day together, Rich.
We did. I know.
You will never forget it.
I know that. It was a lot of fun. And by the way, great job on March Madness.
Thank you. I can't believe they still let me in the door to do that job. I love it so much. It was my 10th NCAA tournament.
But how many times in the studio?
Only my second year.
Okay.
Last year, I was more or less forced into the studio due to my impending childbirth. and they didn't want me to travel. So they let me back in to do the same studio update job. And it's so great. I get to just be off camera and watch hoops all day and keep an eye on all the games, do the updates. It's the best. Lucky.
It was just so much fun.
Oh, my gosh.
You
get addicted. You fall in love with somebody and then you move on.
Well, we're about 40 seconds till the radio audience returns. In 30 seconds, your favorite Bill Raftery story.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, that's so great. Well, we were in Las Vegas, and...
you don't have to tell the rest.
Yeah, exactly right. And the most impressive part of any Bill Raftery story is the fact that he shows up in the hotel gym the next morning earlier than anybody.
Come on!
Yes!
Sweating out the Cabernet?
Shames us all! Really? Exactly! I can't. So every story starts the same. So I was in Las Vegas. Bill Raftery was there. There was a great basketball game. He's an absolute pro. And then the next morning, you feel like a disaster and Raft's at the gym. I'm like, God, Raft, come on.
Raftery, an all-time hotel lobby bar guy, just like Nestler. I don't know if they've ever worked together, but.
Can you imagine I survived working with both of those guys?
I love it. Back here on the Rich Eisen Show Radio Network, I'm sitting at the Rich Eisen Show desk in Green Bay, furnished by Grainger with supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger has the right product for you. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Our first guest in our Green Bay studio for the week, fresh off of the Good Morning Football and GMFB overtime set that you can see right here on the Roku channel, preceding us every single day. The Emmy Award nominated Good Morning Football, Jamie Erdahl.
Thank
good to
you,
see you,
Rich.
Jamie.
My first Emmy Award nomination.
Look
I've never
you.
Happened to me before. Thank you.
It's well deserved. Congratulations.
I really appreciate that.
So you are part of the NFL Network broadcast conducting the interviews of everybody coming out of the green room.
That's exactly right.
What's your favorite story
that you have come across that you know it's going to be a challenge to bring out in just 45 seconds that you have with the kid on the stage?
I have about 20 questions for Travis Hunter that I know I'm not going to ever be able to get to. He's a fascinating story and just seems like a really good, I hate to call him kid, a young man. Really good young man.
Right.
My stress and my job, because this is my first time doing this, is just give these guys their proper moment. They are going to be pestered with questions on how they play soon enough. This is about how their life is changing. We just had Malachi Starks on GMFBOT, and I kind of fell in love with him. He actually made me so much more excited for the actual moment on Thursday night for all those first rounders. And really, it just makes me rack my brain of all those Georgia Bulldogs that are on defense sort of scattered throughout the NFL. So I kind of like the Malachi Starks experience.
You do. Because you're going to be, again, not to get too deep into the woods here, but ESPN gets the odd number picks, and we at NFL Network get the even numbered picks. But that means that Jamie will have the first crack at the prospects who are drafted second, fourth, sixth overall, so on and so forth. I don't know who's doing it for ESPN.
They don't want Molly McGrath and I throwing elbows.
That's what it is. All right.
They just say she gets 1, 3, 5, and so on and so forth. And so, yeah, I'm really focused on the evens.
Well, to be honest with you, you know, if the draft is chalky and there's no action, I wouldn't mind if the two of you did actually get the fisticuffs on the stage.
So then you can voice that over.
There we go. In all seriousness, though, I mean, you are let's just say Travis Hunter is the second overall pick in the draft, which everybody thinks.
Yeah.
After the commissioner, you're the first person to stick a micro,
Yes.
And clearly you're not going to ask him there like, hey, do you think the Browns are going to play on both sides of the ball? I mean, you do have to let the moment sink in. But what about Travis Hunter that you've learned or come across that you want to bring across even here, like that, you now that you don't have to boil it down to 30 seconds?
I think we all know the reason why this is, but Travis and Shador, in my opinion, so much has been said about them on their behalf, and whether or not that's fair, unfair, they like it, they hate it, it motivates them, what have you. Like you said, this is their first opportunity, or Travis's, for example, to speak for himself, knowing what his future is going to be. Up until this point, it's all been conjecture. And frankly, up until this point, he's been selling himself on both sides of the ball, and he wants things to go a certain way. He knows how these meetings have gone with the Browns, for example. So once we know it as a fact, I kind of just want to give him an opportunity to, can you just speak for yourself one more time to Cleveland, for example, to those fans?
Awesome.
And just let him do that. I also feel in my preparation that I would have approached this job a lot differently, I think, before I had any of my kids. I feel very differently now about these young men coming across the stage now that I'm a mom. And I just know that there are parents out there watching their child get drafted to a city that they're not going to be near their home anymore. They're not going to be on their college campus. And just treating the moment with such respect and honor and treating them, giving them the opportunity that they deserve to just shine in that second, because I know if it were my kid, that's what I would want done.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. No doubt.
Don't catch them. I don't want anything from them except their authentic reaction to where they're going.
But not to turn this into an ideas meeting.
I would love it.
Right? Or
a
pre-production meeting. But that is a great follow-up once you do get that out of Travis Hunter.
Yes.
The oh my gosh moment is through.
Yes.
Hey, what do you want to tell Cleveland Brown fans about the ultimate question, if you're going to play both sides of the football, like what, and just let him go? Because you know what his answer is going to be.
He
already said he would quit football if the team that drafts him won't let him do it.
I can't imagine. But I also think once you know where these guys are going, I think they should be allowed to share a little bit more about the team's ideas for them.
Yes.
So maybe he would disclose in that moment, hey, Kevin Stefanski has told me X, Y, or Z. Wouldn't that be a dream if right there he shared that with us?
Well, I can't imagine the Browns wouldn't just unleash him in every possible way.
I'm against the play him on defense and have 4 or 5 packages for him. I think it needs to be maybe like 70-30, 70 on defense, 30 on offense. He's going to show up on the field on offense. You're going to know what the play is. He needs to show up more often to dilute the options.
Yes.
But he cannot. I just can't imagine watching these NFL games, no one ever taking a break and ever having a mental break to meet with a coach, meet with a teammate, figure out what is happening on a team in a game, and having to just be jumping back and forth. It's impossible, but if anybody can do it in some combination, he's going to be able to do it.
Well, I mean, you being in TV as long as you have been, Jamie, know that on occasion people overthink things.
Sure.
Okay.
Sure.
And then create less of a successful work environment because some overthinking is happening.
Mm-hmm.
And you, as somebody who's got a microphone in front of them, will be just like, why are we overthinking this?
Right.
That's the way I view Travis Hunter. Why are we overthinking this?
Yeah.
Let him go. Let him go and do every snap.
He's 20.
Is he 22? Am I getting it wrong? 21, 22?
What's his governor, though?
Like, let him go every freaking snap.
He'll be 22 in a couple weeks.
Yeah, like, he's 22. It's not like he's 32 and we've got to pull. We got to dial it back here because he's not on the field. His best ability needs to be availability, and he hasn't been available because we had too many, you know. Let it go. Let tee it high and let it fly. You're the Cleveland Browns with the most dynamic talent we have seen enter a draft maybe ever, and I don't think that's overstating it. Just screw what are you majoring and you're minoring, and that's, I'm sure you've heard that phrase throughout this entire process on Good Morning Football. Screw it. Do as many snaps as you can, and you tell me when you need a breather in the Gatorade. That's
I'm
the end of it.
I'm not worried about the physical, though. You said he's 22, he's not 32. I'm worried about the mental demands of playing a complex game at a professional level. This is like you're great at pickup basketball, but then you're going to go play the same type of pickup basketball against like a Tom Izzo run offense. Like sometimes the next level of the game is more complex. It's more challenging. It's more demanding. I just don't want him to get out over his skis with the demands of play calling. I mean, I've never learned more football than I did sitting next to Jason McCourty in my 2 years, and just the complexities of running a defense. So are you going to ask him to just, okay, Travis is on the field, so he's going to guard one guy and the rest of us is going to play his own defense because he's over there, because he wasn't in our meeting all week? I don't want it to be unfair to him. I want him to excel. I want him to be great at something. So whatever side of the ball that is, I'm not withholding the other side from him. I just don't think it should be 100%, 100%.
I also sit here in Dion, I trust, too. Like, it's not like Dion is sending a blank slate who doesn't already understand the nuances of playing defense and technique and understanding what needs to be done on every snap for every defense. Obviously, there will be a learning curve.
Sure.
But I think a unicorn is being sent to the next level. I just get I don't know. My spidey sense is going off. Maybe I'm too much of an optimist. I don't know, but it's interesting you pointing out, like, he can't be in two meetings at once.
Yeah.
And that, you know, in the marathon of an NFL season, there needs to be a break. But I would just say screw it and see and then just see where it takes us, because, you know, the ultimate for this kid, we've never seen.
Right.
We've never seen it.
And I'm not trying to hinder him from doing it whatsoever. But what I do, and maybe again to circle back to like protecting him a little bit from any of the pitfalls that might come from trying to play 2,500 snaps his rookie season. And his head is on a swivel because he thinks he's trying to catch up from a blown coverage on one thing and he's got to go back out and be the X receiver. Like, it's complicated. And I think Dion, more than anybody else, can understand the intricacies of how different the college game is versus the NFL and the demands that it requires.
Jamie Erdahl is here from the Emmy-nominated Good Morning Football. GMFB Overtime can be seen right here on the Roku channel preceding our show every single day. And, of course, 8 a.m. Eastern on NFL Network is the Good Morning Football kickoff time. So what is your favorite story, period? Because I know you are also a sideline reporter.
Yeah.
As a moonlighter, I mean, you're the Travis Hunter as well. You're slashing it up with what you do.
Thank you.
Clearly, you know narratives and stories, and the best story that you have heard of anybody in the draft doesn't have to be somebody that's in the green room.
Sure.
I'll just give you that massive roadway for you to drive through.
I like
here.
The Ashton Gentry experience. I like the international upbringing, the military academy part of it, the committing and staying at Boise State in a time where we never saw that happening, the style of runner that he is. This paralleled with what we have seen from running backs in the last 2 years. I think the moment is just perfect for him, and the personality on that young man is awesome. But the fact that this thing, in a time where the NFL is expanding internationally, begins with a kid that played at Naples High School, not in Florida, in Italy, is incredible, and I love that for him.
Naples High School.
Yeah.
So what's the school lunch program there?
So,
man?
Right?
Can you I'd love that.
Because they would play against other nice football programs pizza. With children of, with parents that are in the military.
Sure.
Right.
And he makes his way to Idaho, right? And
right.
Now he's going to be.
And stays. He never had to stay. Once anyone saw that kid run, they could have plucked him from Boise State. And I just love the fortitude and the commitment to that program.
Yeah, no, he could have gone through the portal and, mm-hmm. you know, wound up at mm-hmm. a so-called bigger school, mm-hmm. You know.
Yeah, talk about his high school days and his Players Tribune that I hope everyone read this week.
Yeah.
It was incredible. He talked about 9, 12, 18-hour bus rides throughout Europe to go play just one game.
Mm-hmm.
And that experience, you know, really helped mold who he is. And he's a loyal guy. He's a military guy. He didn't want to leave Boise.
Mm-hmm.
He grew up and became a man with these guys and didn't want to go. It was, I encourage everybody to read that. It's so good, and I want him at 4 so bad.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think you're good.
I know we're not.
I just don't.
It would be great.
And I'm not saying that to troll.
I know. I know. I get
you
it.
You know, I just think the Patriots are going to do the so-called sensible thing here.
Yeah,
you know,
well,
and get someone to protect Drake May.
Well, to that point,
even though a running game would do the same thing.
Right. To that point, you know, I love the tight ends in this class, too. And I'm more fascinated if you're going to go player, that's Ashton Jeanty team. I am very curious about the New England Patriots. And I'm a big Mike Vrabel fan. But just the direction that after he's been away from the NFL for a year, he gets this job that I would assume he kind of always dreamed of having.
Mm-hmm.
What he does with Drake May, why don't they go tight end at 4? I think that would be. I think there's talented tight ends at the top for a pass catching tight end for Drake May. And we see it again. The tight ends emerge in New England.
Tyler Warren goes 4, I would go nuts.
What happened 15 years ago today?
15 years ago today, the drafting of Rob Gronkowski.
That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm talking about.
And the famed phone call of Belichick to the Gronkowski family saying to knock it off.
Get off stage.
Get off stage. Stop acting like a bunch of knuckleheads. You're welcome to the Gronkowski world, Bill.
And somehow someone's still calling the Gronkowski saying, stop being like a bunch of knuckleheads.
Yeah, so get off the stage. Rich, I was at Gronk Beach this weekend, and they're all doing the same stuff.
Oh, it's odd that they have not evolved in 15 years.
You had a heck of a lineup here today, Rich. I'm honored to be the first one.
Oh, come on, you're kicking it
off. Bat and leadoff? It's the kind of stuff.
See, now I know why you like Vrabel, because I'll never forget. I believe
this is a great story.
I was in London. Okay, speaking of working jet lagged, we're in the production meeting. Vrabel walks in. First person he says hello to out of the entire room is Jamie Erdahl.
Oh,
because he and Mrs. Vrabel are diehard fans of Good Morning Football.
Mm-hmm.
That's what he said.
Mm-hmm.
And then after you had your moment,
mm-hmm.
I did my usual stupid thing.
A classic Richism, if you will.
Well, they're well versed in it. I said to him, well, what about the Rich Eisen show, Mike?
Hey.
So what do you think happened next? Do you think he goes, no, oh, I didn't mean to insult you. I you know, I like your show too. Or he basically rat-tailed me verbally.
Yeah.
What do you think?
Yeah, that option two.
Option two.
He did not.
He did not mince words from his brain. That school up north, I think he wanted to refer to.
He did. He went. He basically typical Michigan guy. That whole business.
Yeah.
He didn't take your cheese. Is that what you're saying?
You know, his nice. Wife, I think, played volleyball at Ohio State or something. Like, she's an athlete.
Yeah, they're all Buckeyes.
They still
they're
are people
Buckeyes.
Too, Rich.
I know.
Buckeyes are people too.
Well, I mean, you married a Michigan man.
I did.
Jamie, I mean,
yes,
you know, your children.
This is why we also get along.
We do.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think the Vikings are going to do?
Oh, man. I saw a couple of them pop for to get a running back, Amarian Hampton, out of North Carolina.
You think? I don't know if he'll be around at 24.
You don't think?
I don't.
That's so strange to me. And I had to look back at the why that they only had 4 picks this year, which feels really uncomfortable. It's the least amount that any team has.
Right.
I wouldn't mind them maybe bumping back a couple spots to get another pick in this year's draft.
Well, Mike Mayock, you know, he came on our show on Monday. We've had him on throughout the entire draft season. He thinks the Vikings are the first prime spot
mm-hmm.
for a team to trade up from the second round
right.
to go get a quarterback that's still sitting there to get a fifth year of contractual control, because the Vikings are the team that might be most willing to move back
right.
to amass more draft picks.
Right.
Rather
and
than
they
just
sit right behind the Packers, I think, who they don't need a quarterback. So 24 feels like the right spot for a team to go and do that. But they need help in their secondary. You know, I think they let some guys walk out the door, like Cam Bynum went to the Colts, and the Vikings could go defense. But I'm more in favor of getting a couple more picks this year.
Okay. So Good Morning Football all tomorrow. Everybody check out the beginning of NFL Network's Day of Draft coverage at 8 a.m. Eastern Time with Jamie and the rest of the Emmy-nominated gang. We have, I think, you're our first, Kyle's our last this week.
Oh, my gosh. Well, so you're going to have bookending. Just a bundle of, like, roadkill Kyle after he just leaves it all on the stage for the NFL draft, as you know how he's on his way here now.
Okay.
God help us all.
All right. Well, I mean, he's the Mr. Bears fan here in the home of the Packers. I don't know how many red carpets are going to be rolled out for him. And then there's Good Morning Football, GMFB Overtime, that precedes this show on the Roku channel, Roku Sports channel as well. And I will see you later on.
We're going to rehearse or something. Then I mean, where to stand, wow, what to do.
We are, and again, it's important to rehearse because we have no idea how long the walk is for the prospect. Is
it? I was seeing the red carpet get rolled out on the field because we did GMFB today from up in the Packers booth press conference.
Right.
Amazing. But I look down and I see, oh wow, that's the doorway that the players are going to be coming through with their families and stuff. And then knowing where the stage is, it's kind of a hike.
Well, in Vegas, it was so long, Mac Jones looked like Vince McMahon coming out, right?
Mac Jones is still walking.
Yeah, he's right? Still walking. Oh, I think he pulled a hamstring.
Yeah.
A walk into the stage. But that's important for us because it needs we need to know how long I'm vamping, how long you're waiting.
Yes.
You know, how long, you know, DJ might have something to say and Charles.
How long I have to hold Molly McGrath off from stealing my interview.
Well, listen, you don't have to. It's all
got the numbers.
Orderly. It's all orderly.
Play nice in the
honestly,
sandbox.
Second and fourth. And sixth and eighth and through on and then, you know, she's just got to chill. That's it. We're going to put Molly in a corner on that front.
No.
And then I think you're going to be working Friday night too. I think there's going to be some draft prospects still around on Friday.
So the rules, I guess, are that the NFL has invited these young men to come and some can leave if they want. I think if they don't get picked
up. Well, I mean, they're not held captive
no.
here.
You must stay in Green Bay. You know. But if they choose to come back and participate in the Green Room again, I will be there to give them their moment on the stage.
Very good. Awesome. Fantastic. That is Jamie Erdahl kicking off our week here. On our draft set in Green Bay, Wisconsin. We're back with Jerry Jones's latest.
The Sean Ryan Show Peak Points. Get timeless inspiration from the very best of The Sean Ryan Show.
What did you think of working with the SEALs? We went out every night going after bad guys. I was humbled.
There was no going back home.
I would be in another room crying because I was afraid to go to sleep because of what was coming for me in the middle of the night.
How long did it take you to be able to talk about it?
Long time. But I realized my experiences may help other people too.
The men like yourself are considered legends in the community.
You're right.
The Sean Ryan Show Peak Points. Follow and listen on your favorite platform.
I'm going to ask you a question I've asked many of your predecessors, Jalen. Mac Jones, I've asked this of Tua, I've asked this of Jalen Hurts, a bunch of Alabama players who weren't even playing quarterback. So this is not just reserved for you. But what is the most pissed off you ever made, Nick Saban? Jalen.
Okay. The most pissed off I ever made Coach Saban. So early on in... when I was like, I think I was a freshman or sophomore. I was a freshman.
Okay.
So I was backing up, you know, and we'll finish up a rack. So my first three racks, I'm talking about, were good. You know, I threw a corner route, which was a good ball. The second play, I scrambled, you know, got a positive down. The third play was a good play. So I'm feeling good. You know, I'm not gonna lie, I'm feeling good. And my last rack of the team period, I drop back, you know, our defense does a lot of disguises. Playing Coach Saban's defense is very hard.
Yep.
And you have to understand the tail, understand where the defense is tilted, all that good stuff. And so I drop back, I threw the ball, it was picked. And as a competitor, I'm like, dang, like, man, this is tough. Like, you know, worrying about me. Like, man, everybody hates throwing picks. No one likes throwing picks. So I threw a pick, and I didn't chase the ball. And while I threw the ball, I was on the right hash. So I threw the ball to the left side of the field. So the ball was always to the left, and it was picked off. And I was always in the right hat. I didn't chase the ball down. And where he was standing at, he was standing on the left side of the field. He went from the left side of the field, right side of the field, yelled at me all the way where he was at, came down, ran with me to where the ball ended up going to, screamed at me all the way there, screamed at me some more, walked off, came back, screamed at me, and said that if you don't chase the ball down, you'll never play here.
Woo. Wow. Message received, I imagine. Yeah.
100%. 100%. Next time I'm going to... chase that ball down.
What would a team in the NFL watching you right now get if they drafted Jalen Milroe at some point? What would they get?
I think, honestly, as I narrow it down, it's all about commitment, discipline, and never having to worry that Jalen's going to do what's needed for the team. Everything is centered around the team, whether it's the game plan, whether it's handing the ball off, throwing the ball, using my legs. It's nothing that I wouldn't do that's for the team, doing, you know, what's my, you know, my requirement, which is my best. And all I want to do is be a, you know, a positive reflection of the whole football team. And I think that's the biggest thing that I try to play the game and doing what's required of my job, you know. And I just truly believe that it's not one-dimensional as far as the passing game, the running game, just doing what's best of me and doing what, you know, what's required for us to win. You know, that's all I want to do is win and do what's best for the football team and just sit around guys, you know, collectively to just being team-oriented and detail-oriented. Whatever it comes. And so I think just the commitment level, never wavering from that, and just having also a great support system around me. So there's nothing that's going to distract me, get me weary in the process. It's all about just staying grounded, remaining humble as much as possible, and nothing distracting me from my path.
You get a sense why Jalen Milroe is shooting up some draft boards right there. We could not have been more impressed. Yeah. By Jalen when he joined us in the middle of the Alabama season last November. Don't let that urge to sing along to that catchy tune distract you, folks, from that truck drifting toward your lane or that lane-splitting biker creeping up beside you. Certainly with the weather pouring right now here in Wisconsin, if you're driving a Hyundai around here, guess what? Good news. They offer every Hyundai available class-exclusive advanced safety features that can alert you to potential dangers around you. Hyundai has over 130 IIHS Top Safety Awards since 2006. The IIHS Top Safety Awards include Top Safety Pick and Top Safety Pick and Awards to Hyundai vehicles from 06 to 25. Hyundai is always working to ensure the road doesn't get you. Adam Schefter is making his way to our set here, and then behind him is Brian Gutekunst, the general manager of the Green Bay Packers, and Matthew Golden could be the first wide receiver selected tomorrow night. He could be a Dallas Cowboy by the time it is all said and done, unless the Dallas Cowboys make a huge maneuver.
Oh, baby.
Now, you know what I've been counseling around these parts.
Yeah.
And not just here. I went on First Take as part of the NFL Network / ESPN crossover.
I know.
You know? Yeah. Back in the day, you remember when, I don't know, I should look this stuff up. You remember when the cast of Family Ties crossed over with, I don't know, whatever the hell.
I tried to look that up. I don't think you have that right.
There's been crossover between sitcoms throughout television history, sir. So don't even worry about it. I mentioned on First Take, I keep talking about it. Dallas, make a big splash, please. Make a big splash and go from 12 to 2. Every mock draft would explode. Every single talking head would have an explosion like the movie Scanners. That's an 80s reference. Heads would explode, okay? And Dallas would absolutely put themselves on a map in a way that they haven't been in a while. And I understand, the Dallas Cowboys, everybody talks about them. Spell my name right. Everybody talks about them being disappointing. Everybody talks about them not going ahead and doing the splashy moves like back in the day.
True that.
Jerry Jones had this to say.
Oh,
now, it's not on camera this was after the press conference.
Right.
Okay, because you know Jerry talks.
A lot.
And we oblige in the media. Yeah. Pop it up on the screen here. We're looking at two things that could happen before or after the draft. Two pretty substantive trades been working on today.
God.
Jerry.
You don't say, Jerry.
No. Jerry. But I feel like John Stewart. Meet me at camera one. Jerry, the substantive thing needs to be a lot of substantive draft choices sent to Cleveland. Give him the Godfather offer. Put the friggin' horse's head in their bed and say, this is it. I need your signature on that piece of paper. And they're not going to look at you and say they're no band leader, okay? They're going to say, we got it. We will take all those draft choices. We coughed up so many for Deshaun Watson. And I understand it won't be that expensive as it was to go get Deshaun Watson as the Texans made it on the Browns. Go get Travis Hunter.
bro. And I say that to you because you represent all Dallas Cowboys.
I thought you called me bro because.
Oh, come on. No. I stepped in it. Sir, kind sir.
I'll take bro.
Okay, bro. Let's go.
I mean, you're getting me so hyped up for something that I know is
not going to happen.
I
know it's not going to happen either.
You know?
But I'm trying to speak it into existence. I spoke Sauce Gardner into existence.
Well, that you did. You definitely did.
Oh, it's definitely me. It wasn't the Jets making the proper evaluation.
You were you were on that early, though.
Come
you really
on.
Were.
I spoke Jim Harbaugh out of the Michigan Wolverines into existence.
That you did speak.
Came on the air 10 plus years ago, and everyone, even Steve Bornstein, my rabbi for twice over, guy smart enough to hire me twice at ESPN and NFL Network, he's like, Richie, you got to stop talking about it. It's just ridiculous.
That's my favorite impression you do.
Howard told you to stop talking about
everybody.
It. I'm sure Schefter's here. He was like, you're nuts.
No, I'm sure I'm not even going to use my real estate with him. Well, maybe I will on that sort of stuff.
Rich, all I can say is if this does happen, I will build a statue to you myself. I will have this made.
Okay.
Because you deserve. Because
you'll commission it. You'll personally commission it. You know people, man. You're like the Forrest Gump of Los Angeles and the Rich Eisen show.
That is true. I know people, but okay. If you speak this into existence for me, oh my god.
Well, it's not just for you. It would be for me too, and for ESPN and ABC and anybody else who's covering the draft live.
Anyone with a microphone,
right? This would be.
Come on.
I don't even want to give myself hope that something like that.
It's not going to happen. So
I don't know what is the other substantive trade that they're working on. What would it after the draft be? I don't even know what after the draft would be. What would that be? Who's available after the draft?
So now I'm worried this trade might involve 11, and I don't want that to happen.
But no one's going to be trading substantive people after the draft for draft capital for next year's draft that you don't know where they land. Now's the time to make these deals.
You're trading 11 now for someone in the top five.
Yeah.
How about here I am telling the Dallas Cowboys to do something in what would be conventionally a timely fashion.
Yeah, that doesn't work.
What am I talking about?
It's, like I said, it's Geppetto Jones. He still got us this thing.
Ayuk, what other big players are available?
And apparently, word is that Jerry's pulling the votive candle treatment on Micah.
So he's sitting him in the dark.
And again, for those who may not know, we had DeMarcus Ware on this program many moons ago. He's since appeared, but many moons ago, we talked about how that Jerry likes to cut out the agent and just go directly to the player to have contractual conversations when they reach a certain level in the Dallas Cowboy hierarchy. And DeMarcus was pretty damn high in that, right?
Yep.
And Mike is there, and he said that you knew it was business when Jerry would call you in the office, cut out the agent, light votive candles around the office, turn down the lights, and have a serious conversation to get you to sign on the dotted line in the manner in which he is approving.
Yeah.
And it looks like he's doing that with Micah right now.
Right. Yeah.
Where they say they've agreed on a term and a dollar but haven't signed yet, which means what the hell? Meaning that's the entire concept around this. What are you going to do, Jerry? What are you going to do in Dallas? So there's that.
I told you, you said this the other day, and I literally had a dream two nights later. I told Brockman that Travis Hunter went for a punt return kickoff, a pick, and he caught a touchdown all in the same game. And I'm like, this is incredible.
It would take the 12th overall pick. It would take Dallas's second round pick this year as well. And then they're still about 1,000 points shy or 800 points shy on the draft points chart that you can refer to and say, these are the draft choices that are assigned a certain amount of points, and you put them all together, and the other team is supposed to agree that that's fair because it's on the points chart. And then there's another team, like, say, Cleveland, saying, yeah, it's still not enough because this is Travis Hunter. You got to add a player, got to add this. It would be expensive to go from 12 to 2.
Is that the points chart you have up right now?
It's a chart that I just found.
It's a
points chart.
I don't know if there's a general points chart that we can ask that of Brian Gutekunst. What is this points chart?
And so, for example, follow it? The number one overall pick is 3,000 points. The second pick is 2,600 points.
So Dallas, the 12th overall pick, if I'm not mistaken, is 1,200.
1,200 points.
Right, yeah. So you're now 1,400 away. How much is the Dallas second round pick? Right.
Dallas second round pick is 460 points.
See, now you're
third round 210 and so on.
Right. You got to dip into next year's pool of picks or
be worth it.
Use an actual position player to cough up in a manner that Cleveland approves, obviously. Mm-hmm. To move down to 12, I mean, that's a long way to go.
Yeah.
But it's doable. It's not out of the realm. What else could he be talking about substantive trade?
With him, it could be anything.
when you're moving up, it could be you're moving up to six or seven or something like
that. Honestly, it could be talking about getting a new yacht. Like we have
no, stop it. He's talking clearly about the draft, Chris.
We don't know that. I know.
You know who knows?
Oh, I know who knows. I'm looking at
the man who's literally in from the cold and the rain. What's up, Adam? Good to see you. That's Adam Schefter sitting in our purple room couch right here on the Roku Sports Channel. I go way back with this man like a car seat.
You know I love it when you say that.
I do. We go way, way back to the Michigan days here in the Midwest. All right, so Adam's about to join us to tell us everything that he knows exclusively.
All of it. everything. Everything that's happening.
Give me your phone. I want to see your phone.
Both of them.
I'm surprised he's not texting right now.
Okay. All right. Do you still have a BlackBerry? Does it still exist?
No.
It's gone. Damn it. Adam Schefter's BlackBerry. You know why? Because it's in the Smithsonian. All right. We're back here with Adam Schefter with Brian Kudiku and Sabanam.
Bravo TV star Lala Kent holds nothing back.
There's been so many times where I'm like, I apologize that I said that, but that wasn't meant for you to hear.
Feel you there.
How fun would it be to bring in some Bravo celebrities and make our own bracket?
Iconic.
All right, I'll take Dorinda, you take Sonia.
Sonia is who I wish I could be.
You and me both. I cannot be someone in the program. What's PTO?
Paid time off, see? Oh. You never had a real job.
Give them Lala.
It is nothing but honesty.
You guys know.
Follow and listen on your favorite platform.